this is Jack Bonney.
And Dominic.
And we're here with the band Into the Presence. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Really good. Very good.
Yeah. Awesome. Excited. Nothing left could save a wandering soul.
Just about to do a show here in LA, and you know, what's it like for you guys right before a show? What's going on in your heads? How are you preparing for the show?
I'm a little occupied because I'm playing with Pussifer, so I've been going since noon today, and I'm running crazy. So why don't you give a little insight?
It all depends on the day. If you know someone cut you off on the road and you're edgy, come on, let's do that song, and you start rushing it really quick. No, I'm joking. I don't know. How do we prepare? We just try to get peace. We just try to get peace, really.
Yeah.
You know, try to concentrate on just nothing. You know, clearing the mind.
Right. Yes.
So, what are you excited about most about this new album that's coming out?
Most
I'm just excited that it's coming
everything
out.
Yeah, it's been 2 years now since we've been waiting for this thing. Is it two?
Almost.
It's 2 years.
It's going to be almost two.
Almost
years.
Two.
Yeah. Right.
It's been a lot of contract issues and just a lot of delays.
A lot
so
of logistics and whatnot.
And sure. Now we're ready. April 28th.
April 28th.
Yeah. So.
So you guys decided to do this first album in analog on tape, right?
Yeah.
So where did this idea come from? Why do this?
Wow. So weird to hear that question.
I know. The sound, really. It's as simple as the sound. I mean, Tim's always had a recording studio. I mean, ever since I've met him back in 95, we've always recorded, and I had a studio for a while. And he was working on the Fata Morgana album, and it was all digital, everything, you know. And what happened?
We just didn't like the mix. Yeah. So I said, I was got angry. I was like, damn, we did all this work, and it sounds like crap. So I bought a board and tape machine. I'm going to do it like most of our favorite records are done, which is on tape. And still, people still do it.
Yeah.
You know? Tape is the way.
Yeah, I think he re-recorded all the drums and guitars on that Fata album. He goes, dude, I can't believe how great it sounds. So, and that was it.
Really? So I called Luis and said, we got to make your record, you know? So he came up and we started working, and then it ended up being a collaboration, and we built Into the Presence.
So is there anything scientific about analog versus digital? I mean, how do...
Yes. a digital signal is an audio signal that gets converted to numbers. The numbers are transferred through the computer and does its thing, and then it gets converted back to an analog signal. So the computer says a 1 is this much voltage, and that's what powers your speaker on the other end. But with tape, the electrons go through the microphone, through the wire, through the board, right onto tape, and they're glued onto the tape. Then the tape plays them back. So there's no, it's actual sound. It's not,
processing
it's
involved.
Not a, yeah, it's not yeah. a digital, like, this
no
is
conversion.
What it should sound like. That's what digital does, it samples it. So it's not the real signal. Mm-hmm. So we are into the real signal.
Yeah, sure.
And the new album has, we cut it on vinyl, too. Yeah. Straight really? Off of the analog tape.
Really?
So it's a true analog recording.
Wow.
When you look back to your... Because you guys have been involved in other projects, obviously. This is a new project for you guys.
Yeah.
Have you guys done analog before? Has it always been digital up till this point?
I hate saying back in the day. I hate using that word.
Well, in the mid-90s.
In the mid...
ADATS came out.
Yeah, up until the mid-90s, I think we've all worked on the tape format. And then, you know, everything from the ADATS to Pro Tools, you know, just started hitting all the home studios. And then it just became the norm. I mean, there's a story. I was doing a session a couple years ago, and it was all done on Pro Tools. And the producer goes, wow, man, you play just like you're performing.
That's
and I
great.
Thought that was the weirdest thing to say. I'm like, but
that's
I am
job.
Performing.
That's our job.
That's what I'm trying to get on tape. Oh, wait, on this, whatever this machine is. And
right.
But yeah, I mean, it was the norm for a while. But I mean, now it's like, it's such a, it's like a it, people view it sometimes as a novelty, but it really isn't. I mean, it just sounds great. I mean, we could sit you down, play the half inch masters, and you'll hear like, wow, this notes are flying everywhere. It's almost like you can grab them, and you can't really do that with digital. However, with digital, the fidelity is a lot wider. Like the highs are really high, the lows are really low, and you can feel that stuff, but it's not as dimensional. And what I mean by 3D, like, you know, the voice isn't flying over there, the guitars aren't, you know, really warm, everything's just crunchy and compressed and nice, but it's not as dynamic as you would, you know, where you actually think it's alive, you know?
Yeah. So Tim, inspired by Neil Peart and John Bonham, what did you take away from listening to them?
Just everything. I listen to every song, every note.
Sure. I'm you know, a drummer myself. I love Neil Peart, and I used to just be amazed by that guy. So I was just wondering exactly what it was that you yourself took away from him, because it seems like you're so comfortable in multiple time signatures. What was your education growing up?
Nothing. Just listening and figuring it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I used to play every, you know, all the Rush albums would come out and I'd learn them, and that was my education.
Wow.
Then Zeppelin, Van Halen, when that came out, and The Cars, and
Rick Springfield. Okay. He's a huge Rick Springfield fan.
Wow.
Then it got a little older, got into a little jazz stuff, you know, because I finally heard drum solos, you know, and all kinds of stuff. But then we just got into, you know, back into the Police and the roots of things.
Is there a particular song, past, present, that within its own structure allows you to have a lot of freedom to be innovative?
You mean one of our songs?
Past, present, you know, when you're playing with...
Well, for me, what we're doing is where I'm at mentally.
Nice.
I have a hard time. I don't even really like listening to anything else right now. I'm just so focused on our thing. So.
Right. Awesome.
What about you? How did you guys come together as a couple, together as, you know, this new group?
As,
I mean, what?
Presence?
Yeah, how did it happen?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. I mean, we met back in '95. You know, just well, we met. And we've actually worked and played music since then, and just stayed really good friends. And we always did musical things together. But it wasn't until he was doing his Fata Morgana project, he did that record. I went out, invited by Tim, to go do what was supposed to be a solo record. And through the process, it just became this, you know, this massive collaboration where it was like, let's do this. Let's call it something. Let's just make this, you know, an entity of some sort.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it happened. We just, you know, over years of, you know, song. I mean, some of these songs on this record, it might be like 10, 12 years old or something like that. Not all of them. I mean, just like maybe one or two that are like, hey, what about that song we did back in such and such? And yeah, let's try that. And he does a great job at producing, and, you know.
Right.
I do my part in just saying, I need more highs. I need more lows. Wait, no, not that take.
Should I do this solo? No. How about this
solo? I've got 48 more solos left.
Yeah.
And you recorded this at your recording studio, right, Tim?
Yeah, in a ghost town in Arizona.
And I read that some very interesting things happened while you guys were recording this album.
Yeah, we had lots of activities, so to speak, spirits, and
that's
kind of inspired everything. And we're working on a video with John, who's filming all this right now. We're working on the ideas, and that's what we're talking about, is incorporating that. Let's use that, because that affected our music majorly.
Yeah.
From erasing things on the tape, we're just gone. We're like, what happened? We just did this tape. Where is it? It's gone. So we redo it again.
You see it on the meters, no sound. It's like, huh?
Popping, things popping in and out. The, you know, bottle of water in the fridge is frozen next to the one that's not.
Wow.
Whispers in my girlfriend's ears, whispers, and playing with her hair. While I had her hitting drums one night. He's heard stuff.
Wow. Our tech had a massive experience.
Yeah.
Apparently, but where we recorded it is... what year was it?
I don't know.
Like old high school, and it was abandoned at one point. I mean, Jerome was a ghost town. So
literally, it was the first mining town in America.
Yeah.
In the 1800s.
So this definitely got some history. But one night, our technician that was working on all our gear, he stayed the night up there just because, you know, he just kept working on the stuff. And next morning when we took him to breakfast, he just looks at us, he goes, "Do you guys believe in ghosts?"
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, "Yeah, why?" He goes, "Well, last night, you know, I wake up to you know, this girl that's on top of me and four other, you know, four other people cheering her on, and it was like
he couldn't get up. They wouldn't let him up.
And so we found out like 2 days later that where we were recording, which is the principal's office, right next door was a nurse's office, and apparently there were five students that had died, and four boys, one girl. So exactly
3 and 2, I think.
Was it 3 and 2?
I think three and
something
two.
Like that. But it was the exact number of people.
So two
that
he separate incidences, and we're like, there must be something to this.
There was always weird stuff going on. Always. I mean, it's.
But in Jerome, that's everyone there will tell you stories because it happens all the time.
Right.
So it really does.
Right.
We're, you know, once you hear it enough, you're like, oh, it's okay.
How did you come to record it? What was the thinking behind that spot that you ended up recording in?
I just put up a studio there. So it comes with the territory, you know. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I was just wondering what, you know, if you were thinking about the fact that there were spirits there, if that was kind of drawing you.
It wasn't that.
It was no plan.
What happens is that this old high school is converted for, like, it's for artists, really. There's a lot of artists there that are renting out a room or a classroom. Uh-huh. And we had the principal's office, and right down the hall, Steve, right?
Yeah,
he has his studio. And he just rented a room, and lo and behold, you know, there's all this stuff that starts coming up.
And I live there, so I built a place for me to work, you know.
Yeah.
The song No Quarter is a Led Zeppelin cover, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I saw that on YouTube. So where did this idea come from?
Jamming.
Yeah, and we love them, and we needed some time, some filler. Just, hey,
let's do that.
We only got 38 minutes in our set, so.
But we kind of just, right before a show, I'm like, let's do No Quarter. All right, you play the bass like this. You did this on the cello, and kind of just really quickly did an arrangement like that, and it worked out.
So. Yeah, that's great.
Awesome.
Well, the one thing that we asked of all of our artists is to do their best pirate impression. Can you guys give us your best pirate impression?
I could put on some eyeliner and draw a mustache.
Yeah,
that's my pirate impression. Go for it.
Huh?
Do your pirate impression. He does a great one. You should.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's phenomenal, man. We recorded it on an acetate.
Analog, right?
Yeah.
That's about it.
Okay.
Grrr.
Arr. What was that? Did you see the
pirate pods rock?
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're still so far away. Babylon is alive. And the words we knew have all been turned against us.